Yes, it did. Well. You wanna read out the time of the fire movement?
Oh.
And the glands that are controlled by the fire movement?
11 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
It's the gallbladder, heart, triple warmer, spleen, and pancreas. The air or wood is 3 to 5. Lungs, bladder, liver, small intestine. Water, 5 to 7. Kidney, large intestine, bladder, lungs. Metal or ether, 9 to 11. Triple warmer, spleen, pancreas, heart, constrictor, stomach. Earth, 11 to 3, liver, small intestine, liver, small intestine, gallbladder, and heart.
You got that clear now? Any questions?
I want to know why we looped it. Looped the little dashes.
All right. The loop represents the control. The
method.
Negative.
All the little dashes? You know, you told us to dash it out and then loop it. Oh, that was just a line.
That was a line that ran the when
okay.
Fire controlled the ether or the metal.
Mm-hmm.
And then earth controls water.
Mm-hmm.
And water controls fire. And air controls earth. You got it?
Air controls earth. So
the no, earth is across the other side.
Yeah, I think I've got
no,
my arrow at the wrong end.
That's ether over there, on the bottom.
Yeah, earth is.
Earth
no, that's mine.
Okay.
Much
it
like
should read fire, earth, ether, water, air.
I went the wrong way.
Okay, we got it clear?
Yeah.
Fire, earth, ether, water, air. Now fire controls the ether. And the earth controls the water. And the water controls the fire. And the air controls the earth. But as I said before, in the Oriental philosophy, they prefer to specify air and ether in more concrete terms. So air is often referred to as wood, and ether is often referred to as metal, because it's a more concrete term, and therefore fire would control metal. If you notice, it has to pass through earth. That's why we say those circling lines that look spiral.
Yeah.
So earth, metal comes from earth. So fire also would control the earth in some degree, in shaping it and refining it into a metal. And the metal would control the wood or the air by cutting down the wood. Now the earth will control the water by damming it up or making or filling it up. And the wood or the air will control the earth by growing all over the earth and making the earth stagnant after a while.
What was the significance of, like, on the water there were no 7 to 5. And over here, no 11 to 9. Wait, did that have any significance?
No, they don't have any significance. Alright. Well, we got the positive note. Did you mark the positive one?
Yes, sir.
Well, which one is positive?
Earth and water.
Earth and water positive.
Air and earth.
Air and earth is positive.
I don't have air.
That's the one that runs across. That's positive.
Yeah. And, from earth to water, but not water. It's positive.
Well, you should have the one that runs across from air to earth, that's positive.
Yeah.
All right.
And the one that runs
from
earth
to water is positive. And the water to the fire, that's negative. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. The ether to the air is what?
Negative.
And the fire to the ether is what? So you got 3 negatives. You shouldn't have 3 negatives. You should have 2 negatives and 3 positives. There's somebody wrong.
I don't have anything from fire to ether.
Fire to ether is negative.
So goo.
Right?
Alright, now where is that goo?
From air to earth is positive. You got that?
Yeah.
Alright. Earth to water is positive.
Right.
And fire to water is positive. Right? Is that negative?
Yeah.
Good. Now you're keeping track right. Okay. Then from ether to air is what?
Negative. I have
negative. Alright. Ether to air is negative, right? Water to fire is negative. So that's 2, right?
Right.
Alright. Air to earth is positive.
Right.
Earth to water is positive.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And fire to ether is what now?
I had negative. But you said we had it wrong, so it's positive?
Negative.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you...
How am I gonna
we had a hard enough time getting to the dumb
How am I going to know that you're keeping up track for this thing? And just listening to me, you got to keep track of this thing to keep this information in your mind. Okay, I'm just... you got to be certain you got the information. So how many negatives and how many positives you got?
3
negatives and 2 positives. So the atom always has more electrons than protons, right? So in the same schematic, you would have more negative than positive, as they revolve around. Now, we're going to draw a circle a dotted line circle going all around the 5 points. All those 5 little ends to make a dotted circle to complete it, like to enclose it all in a dotted circle. So a dotted circle will go like this.
This is outside of the L.
Outside of the whole thing. Make a dotted circle completing it. That's the idea. Complete the body circle all around. That kind of enclose it. Okay, we got that. Now inside the five-pointed star, there's a pentagon outline the Pentagon clear. That is five lines there in the middle of the stars.
No,
it doesn't matter if it's crooked, just outline it so that you have the 5 points inside. So you have a clear cut pentagon in the middle of the star.
Just five sides?
It doesn't matter if it's smaller, if it's just outlined it.
No.
No, you follow the lines.
Okay.
That's it. Okay. We have a pentagon inside, right? Is that clear for everybody? Is that clear?
Yes.
Okay. Now, at the top of fire, put time. Time.
Just put the word
in. Write about time. At ether. At Earth, in fact, at Earth, you mark space, right outside of the circle. Outside of ether, you mark light. Outside of water, you mark motion. Outside of air, you mark sound. Now, in the pentagon, well, let's go on the dotted line. On the dotted line all around, you mark consciousness on the dotted line. That's a complete circle of consciousness. And in the pentagon, you mark being.
Is that the only one we'll have to put in it?
Mm-hmm. Now let me say, a master is a master in the physical realm. He must come from the five realms. He must come from the realm of pure being. He must be from the fifth realm. Until you find a living master from the fifth realm, you haven't found the master yet. You must be able to control these five movements. Therefore, he's a master of the fifth realm. Consciousness controlling the energy. Is that clear? Now, at each V-point or vortex of the star, draw a dotted line out, going away from it towards the ring. From the vortex point or the V-point of the star, the star has five V-points. You know what a V-point is?
Yeah,
it's like an apex. It's just like an apex. Shaped like a A-frame, like a dome, like a pyramid. Alright, from each point where the two lines meet, draw out a dotted line towards the circle. Well, here is the bottom of the star. Here is the apex. You see it comes in and goes out. That's a point here for one of them. That's another point going out this way. Another point going that way. Another point going this way. Another point going that way. So you have five points in the star, on the outside line of the star, where they come up together in like a V. Like this, trying to look like an A without the center bar. Thank you. on those center bars that emanate out from being, we put the word love.
On all sides.
On all sides. Now the two lines going to the top, you notice there are two lines going to the top? That's the positive love. Two lines going away from the side is the negative love. And the one line coming down to the bottom is the neutral love. Okay, you got that clear? All right. What do you notice about the love? What is interesting about the love?
Going in all directions.
Negative love goes out in every direction, right? Go from the side.
Yeah.
All right. And the positive love seems to go up like if you have your arms upstretched.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. So, why does Jesus say, come unto me, all ye that travail and heavy laden and refreshed?
That's
why
we stand up and
rest.
Huh? Isn't that what you did at that? Lecture you gave
right.
At the
Walmart. Mm-hmm. So the positive love is this all the time. The negative love is this. Hold back everybody. Peace be still. All the forces of death. Negative don't mean bad. Positive means to build up. Negative means to control or hold in check. Now the neutral love is the one like this, when you put it on your head. That is the imparting between the two beings. Now if you look at the oriental mudras and the various figurines, you'll always see the neutral love being like that. The hand is always outstretched like this. Neutral love is the impersonal love. It's the unconditional love that is bestowed all the time, so that you and the Creator are one and the same. You and the Divine Force are one and the same all the time. This Divine Force imparts to you impersonal love. It has no attachments, no conditions. Either you love on a purely impersonal basis, a purely unconditional level, a purely unattached level. So that's why they say, in God there is no condemnation. Because the energy moves down to you directly from pure being. You notice all the lines will soon meet, they'll cross into the middle. And they'll go across into the pentagon. If they were allowed to cross into the pentagon, they'll end up in the middle. They'll cross each other in the middle of the pentagon, which is pure being. Now, creation, you notice sound and space and light and motion are all within the negative sphere and the neutral sphere of the lines. Right? Sound, space, motion and light are in the neutral lines or the neutral love. And the positive and negative love, they are the expressions of creation. Is that clear? You see how it goes out? Creation must go out from pure being, affecting in sound, space, motion and light. Now, God is timeless. So time is between the two positive fields. So in the positive field, what does time become? It becomes timeless. Yet we can't exist without the concept of time, therefore time is not a real thing. It is only a condition in which we relate to the Creator. So if you light a match, you ask yourself how long it takes to burn out. And you're constantly watching the time cycle in the match. Till it burns out and you go away with the concept or the impression that it's timeless. Now you ever watch a fire that's burning? It gives you the feeling of timelessness, yet it's occurring in time. That's why the fascination for watching a burning fire. You are involved with the time principle and on a positive scale, always wondering where it's going, what's becoming of it. And it's receding from finite to infinity. So God cannot be perceived as a person in either time or timelessness, but His divine light. He is that one principle of light, always in time and timelessness. When He manifests at time, we have a creation. And from the time, then we get sound, you see. Sound must come out of it. The moment God is going to take up time from His timeless state, He's going to start manifesting sound. Then sound will resonate through space on the negative scale. Then we have light, which we see, and say, let there be light. But to say let there be light, he has to say you sound. The mere statement of let there be light is a statement made in sound and in space. And light then comes into manifestation in the space movement. Then the last thing would be the motion. We measure light now in motion. How long it takes to go from one planetary movement to another planetary movement, or one body to another body. So our astronomers tell us that the light coming from the sun reaches the earth exactly how long? It takes 9 minutes to come from the sun to the earth at a speed of 186,000 miles per second. And if you multiply 186,000 miles per second by 60 by 9, you'll get the distance from the earth to the sun. You can't escape mathematics, it's right there, already set up. The Creator made it as his geometry, you know, what a man called Spinoza. He said God geometrizes. And to create is to geometrize. So a working movement in the universe to relate to our universe on a practical level, we have to comprehend geometry. Even astrology is involved in geometry, mathematics. Now, time in your science of the soul is called Kal. Those who have read the Satmat readings always hear of the word Kal being mentioned. Kal is the only force that opposes the master force or being force. The master is
spell that Kal.
K-A-L.
Kal.
You know it in your Christian scriptures as Satan, which means adversary, time. The opposing force to Akal, which is timeless, or master force. So the master force within you is Akal, the opposite of time, timeless. That's the reason why you feel infinite inside of yourself, why you feel you're immortal. The feeling of immortality in you is Akal, or timeless.
Is that A-K-A-L?
A-K-A-L. Otherwise, you don't have any feeling. If you were to think of yourself in terms of time. Just think for one moment in terms of yourself being time and see how you feel. Not possible, right? That part which thinks or feels cannot begin to think in terms of time being a limitation, cannot think of in limitation. So it's already in a timeless state. You are exist as you in timelessness out of your pure being. And everything that appears around you gives the appearance of a time sequence, and you are caught up in this time sequence around you in the form of sound, space, light and motion. You got that on your chart? Now you notice the ring. What is the ring that connects them all?
Consciousness.
Well, now you see why mind is a instrument of the soul. Now, you're looking at the soul broken down into its pure aspect. There is no expression there called soul. Man is a reflection of this principle. All these things are put together to make up soul, or the spiritual order of united life. That's the true meaning of the word soul. The spiritual order of the unity of life. And we are an expression of it. But we can only recognize this expression by consciousness. So Casey would say, mind is the builder. Who reads Casey writing? Nobody?
ARE members.
What does he say about the mind?
Mind's the builder.
Alright, so where is mind put up on the scale of the soul principle here? In that circle. It bridges everything in that circle. Do you see the circle? The circle of consciousness is the mind. That circle of consciousness is mind already. It's mind. And it's the builder within you all the time. You can't do anything in a tangible sense in your time cycles without using your mind. You have to use mind all the time. So mind is an instrument, but mind is also the most powerful instrument that time uses to delude you.
So I'm getting confused in that if they say that our mind is tied up with the soul, but then it's tied up with the sensory.
Yes.
And we've got to get it untangled.
Right. So how you first you got to understand how it's tied up in the sensory. Mind is tied up in the sensory function of the body as negative sensory, positive motor. Movement. You live in a sensory motor universe. That means your sensory functions telegraph themselves through nerves, your motor functions telegraph through muscles. Therefore you have the principle of energy now. Otherwise you don't have no energy. Mind is a form of controlling force, which appears as energy through sensory motor movements. Otherwise you have an inert mass. You don't have no mind in a physical body until it passes through your sensory motor movements. So how many senses do we have?
Five.
Oh, how come five?
Six
then. Well, there's a six one now. Is it the compact?
It's on what level you are.
You have five forces in you. All right.
They make up the synergy?
These five forces, when working in unity, is considered the sixth sense. So what is the sixth sense supposed to do in the first place?
Well,
that's a broad terminology.
Intuition,
you're knowing independent of the senses for the first time. That's what the word intuition means. To know independent of the senses, to know from within. Now look at your star, what have you got? Where is the being located?
In the pentagram.
In the pentagram. Therefore you know fully from within yourself when you do what? When you pull back the energy to the center, from away from the conscious contact with the outer world or the five movements of the outer world. You couldn't have any control or domination of this environment if you don't pull back the energy from the central movement. So you are a victim of your senses if you become attached to the outer world. And you're a master of your senses if you pull back from the outer world. So the person is happy and peaceful and serene and elevated when they withdraw from the sensory world every time they meditate. Now, how does a spider spin its web? So, where is the middle call in the spider now? You see, the Creator is constantly demonstrating how he works, like a spider spinning his web. We don't like spiders. A spy or spin, the word comes in, the spy or spin. So a spider is constantly demonstrating its inexhaustibility to create from within its inner being. Now, can a spider pull its web back into itself? Why?
He created it.
Can God call back his creation?
No. No. Well, I guess the guy's at home, so I guess no.
No.
I don't know.
You're running into mechanical demise.
No, we always have to evolve, do we not? We don't go backwards.
Well,
we don't go backwards. We always evolve. We don't go backwards, do we?
Well, this is a good opportunity for you to use your mind and your
like
soul
a baby doesn't go back into the womb. And it's kind of the same thing, isn't it? After you're one,
you
wake
up, eat
out,
come have your night.
You're born again.
We go back, but we go back on our own with a little help.
A whole lot of help.
If the spider can pull back its web inside of itself, what can the spider do?
Recreate it again.
Right.
Or he can undo what he did.
Maybe he can make a new one. That one gets messed up.
Or it all goes back to juice and starts all over again.
That's a good question.
I don't think he can take it back. Otherwise, I wouldn't be walking in spiderwebs all the time. And if he can take it back, why doesn't he?
Good question. Now, what did Jesus say about creation? Although heaven and earth may pass away, not one jot nor tittle of my word will pass away.
Now, that's a law.
The illusion that is around us that appears as a heaven and earth, a planetary system, they go into change. Pure energy that may not be visible to the naked eye, but nevertheless, you notice there's a ring going all around it. It's called what?
Consciousness.
So you see now why it cannot disappear. As long as you have consciousness, there is no such thing as the world going away any place. Not even one word that is sung or the vibratory rate or the space in which it appears to be in, let alone the motion in which it evolves it, nor the light in which these forms will resolve themselves. Even if it becomes timeless, it will still be in consciousness. It cannot go away. Now you see how binding this universe is upon us when we think and act. That everything we think and do is recorded for eternity.
And everything's related.
Right, everything is related. There is no loss, it can be destroyed, it's all recorded there, so we call it the Akashic Record, or the Book of God's Remembrance. So, it can only spin out, but it can't pull back. The web is only as strong as the substance in which it's in the web. And the web is an illusion. Okay. We're coming into some important things now in terms of the understanding of this principle that we're looking at. Unless we understand how this cosmos is made up, the acupuncture pressure points, the massage points, and all the other correlated activities don't mean nothing. Because we're dealing with energy all the time. Now, since we're dealing with energy, the energy has to be positive, negative, and neutral all the time. Mind is the expression of the soul. Your mind is an expression of your soul. And as Keith said, mind is the builder. The builder for who? All right. Who is the architect? No, not necessarily so.
Well,
mind is a builder.
The builder of consciousness.
It's the builder of consciousness, but soul is the architect. The architect designs, but he doesn't build. You have to go get a contractor to build the design. So who carries the design? Who sets up the design in you? Your soul nature, your God nature, sets up the design within you. And your mind executes that design. Your mind tries to hold that pattern. Your mind tries to maintain the form. What you look like is your soul pattern. How you maintain this soul pattern is how you employ your mind.
Is the soul different? Does the soul change?
Soul is constant, you don't see. Mind deviates, but soul don't. Mind deviates, but soul don't. Mind is the thing that you are constantly working and constantly relating and constantly trying to compute or constantly try to analyze, constantly try to reason. So right now, what are you using to listen to me with?
Mind.
Do you see how powerful a control it has on you? Because you're not able to separate it from your soul. Which part of you you're going to call soul and which part you're going to call mind and what you're going to use to do to call it?
The soul is the permanent part and the mind is the changing part.
Alright. Now, the soul don't think.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if the soul is, what would you do? to recognize it.
What would the mind do to recognize it? What would the mind do?
All right. What would the mind do to recognize the soul?
Joins it.
The Chinese have a word for that. Develop a no mind. In other words, learn Zen. It's zenith. Zen begins when thinking ends.
Uh-huh.
That's all the word really means. You have reached the end of your thinking. That's the Zen of it.
And that's the greatest art.
Reach the end. You reach the end of thinking. And you start the beginning of feeling. If you can't think, or if you don't think, what would be the next most important thing, or the real important thing?
A feel.
All right. So, soul does what?
Soul feels.
All right. Now, what is the food of the soul?
The food of the soul. Would it be thought or love?
Well, come on. You don't feel thoughts.
You feel love.
You feel love. Now there's a.
But it's through your thinking that you feel usually. No,
when you stop thinking, when you stop thinking, there is no more thinking going on now.
This is what I came to learn: is how do you get to that spot?
Well, by feeling.
How do you turn off the thinking and stop the feeling?
By listening.
Inner listening.
You feel by listening.
But then you have to come to the control of the emotions in some way, don't you?
You learn to feel by listening.
I'm gonna write that down.
You can't feel until you begin to listen. You'll be thinking every time when something touches you, and you'll be calling that feeling, but until you learn to listen, you haven't begun to feel. Now, there's a saying, if music be the food of the soul, play on. If music be the food of the soul. Now we're going to prove why music is the food of the soul, and therefore we should play on. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is sound or music, or the cosmic sound or vibratory force. And the Word was with God. The vibratory force was the conscious being. And the Word is God. It's not was or shall be or can be. The Word is. That vibratory force is God. It's you already. And the Word was made flesh. This substance. And dwelt in man. Where is the sun? In the flesh or in the air? In the flesh. Providing you can hear it. If you're deaf, you would not know if it's in the flesh or outside of the flesh.
If you're attuned, you feel it, though, wouldn't you?
But if you're deaf, you'll feel it. It's a funny phenomenon. Deaf people feel sound, but they can't relate to it. They don't know why, but they feel it. It irritates them. So,
what happens when you feel it in meditation? I mean, I can hear it back here, but I'm feeling it up here.
Good. So, to become attuned to the soul is to listen. And by listening, you feel for the first time your true identity. You feel now the unlimitedness of yourself. When you meditate, you are really listening to yourself. And therefore, you are not thinking. You are on the receiving end. And your scripture tells you straight words, they don't mix it. As many as transmit to God, they shall become sons of light, or sons of God. Or as many as you pray to me, you will become sons of God. Is that what the Bible says?
Amen. That's what it means. I don't think that's exactly the word, but that's what it means.
The Bible says, as many as receive.
As receive. That's
well, how can you receive?
As you believe on His name, and you receive.
No, no, belief got nothing to do with receptivity. As many as receive, to them gave He the power to become sons of God. The word receive has nothing to do with belief. You can't receive until you listen. You have to pick up it strictly broadcasting. A radio wave is received on the antenna and brought in, and you're forced to listen as it comes up to the loudspeaker. So as many as receive Him.
Okay. I guess it was there, but I hadn't heard it. Maybe.
Well, you were busy hearing the word, you weren't listening to the word.
That's right.
There's a big difference between listening and hearing. Most of us go through our lives hearing the word, but never.
I can put my three fingers together and it'll come just like that.
And so most of us go through this world hearing ourselves talk, but never really listen to ourselves or listen to ourselves talk.
That's one muscle.
So when you start to listen to yourself, you will have the experience of realization of self. So realization is not something out in the sky. It's already within you in the flesh, the moment you begin to listen to yourself. Jesus didn't say you were somewhere. The Spirit of God is in you. He didn't say outside of you. So if it's inside of you, why can't you experience it? Why should you not experience it? The only thing that's interfering with it is you don't know how to listen. But the structure of the universe will show you that from time immemorial, men have always been realizing themselves and listening to this principle. And they can see it in this graph or this chart, how to listen to themselves. And by listening to themselves, they can now direct this course. Then Jesus will say to you, no man take my life from me. That's where the word chi or prana or life comes in now. But I have the power to lay it down and pick it up. How would he have the power to lay it down and pick it up? From where?
Well, he could turn it off and on.
But he must know the rules. He must know how the thing is constructed.
He needs the spiritual law and have him into it.
Well, you got the spiritual laws in front of you now.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Oh, but you have the technique given to you. He gave you the technique long before I come along to point it out in this graph. He says, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power. That word power is power. I don't mean the new version Fandango translation. They say to them that receive Him, He gave them virtue. That throws the whole thing out of context.
But this is the power to heal.
Yes,
or the power to manifest.
It don't say anything.
It says the power. I'm just trying to take it on from there.
As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become sons of God. That's a big difference of power to heal and power to manifest. He says, power to become sons of God. You don't begin to realize what He's talking about, otherwise you would grasp the truth right away.
Well, He's talking about being like Jesus, because Jesus he knew for a fact that He says, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me.
All right. But this power is something He's talking about, based upon knowledge. He can't base power on fantasy. Remember, He said, I tell you things of the world. If I begin to tell you things of the heavens, what would happen? You wouldn't even believe Him that He came from a spaceship.
He did, yeah.
No, I don't want to get quoted.
Well, I saw that picture the other night.
You watch UFOs?
Yeah.
That's been my time going from one ghost story to the other.
Well, they had that wonderful picture by the astronauts.
Well, the thing is this, unless you know the laws and understand them, then to receive this power and to use it, then you wouldn't understand what you're receiving. Now, it's not compulsory to be have a tremendous education. What it, with all these knowledge, remember all this knowledge, this whole entire universe still does not belong to man. Who does it belong to?
God.
Yet, within this structure of the universe, he planted the Christ principle, to which all things are known. The Christ principle knows all things. Now, the same Christ principle said, I go where when he dies?
Go back to the
Father.
But he will do what?
Come on.
No, he didn't say that. He said that for some in another level of thinking, but he didn't say, I go on to the Father, but I send you the Holy Comforter.
He's not defeated.
When the disciple asked him what would become of them, he said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. They were asking what would become of them. When he died and go on, he was answering a different question. So he told them, in my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you to go, not so I tell you. That's a different question. The question is, I'm saying now, I go on to the Father, but I will send the Holy Comforter, who will remind you of all these things in my name. Now all these things are known already by the Christ intelligence that was present in the man Jesus, and will be reminded in you when you experience or accept that principle in your body. When you accept that holy principle in yourself, all these things will come flooding into your brain. It's a wisdom that will come into you without any effort, because who is it giving it? Who, where are you going to get it from? Not all the books in the whole world of libraries, you can't find it. The wisdom comes in from another source. It has to come in from the inner consciousness. And it will remind you. That means it will make you aware of it being inside of you already. In other words, if you were to speak it in the space talk, Brother Jesus is going to slip a cassette into your brain. And you're going to flip out and know it all.
Need it.
You'll need it. So, cassette one coming up right now. Or tape one. That's reminding you, because you're playing it back all over. You're going to play it back through your consciousness. You're going to play back all the things that he experienced in your consciousness. So, until we get it done clear what we're trying to do with ourselves, then all these other techniques really don't have true meaning yet, or true value. So we're trying to receive, we're trying to identify. And as we try to receive and identify, then we can see the purpose behind for these therapies. The therapies are synchronized to the movement of energy. Energy is power. Where would the man have the power to heal if he didn't understand the laws? He has to understand the laws himself. And once you understand the laws, you can apply it. Now, the laws are working in three ways. On a chemical level, an electrical level, and a thought level. That same power is working three ways. Mm-hmm. A chemical level, an electrical level, and a thought level. On the chemical level, you have the human anatomy, and you have the 16 minerals or elements that make up the human anatomy, plus the trace minerals. Now the chemical combinations make this human body, yet there are more than 16 elements in this world and trace minerals or trace elements. Yet this human body cannot be constructed outside of these basic 16 kind of traits. It requires the same basic 16 all the time on the trace minerals to build it. So it definitely adhere to a certain pattern. The pattern is set up by the soul. And mind or consciousness is the build, it holds the pattern and tries to repeat. So the cells themselves have a mind. They will repeat their pattern. They will repeat themselves. The cells in the eyes are different from the cells in the nose. And the cells in the nose are different from the cells in the big toe. And they're different from the one in the heart. And they all would repeat their own pattern all the time. Heart cells will repeat heart cells, big toe will repeat big toe cells, and nose cells. Yet you can still take and graft from the same mechanism if you need to graft. But once they graft and they hold, then we find what is called alignment or adjustment. The cells will start taking on the new abilities to align themselves. So we got the idea now, me all face. Your nose to your toe is the same in terms of the uniformity of it, but in terms of their makeup, they have to bridge across themselves and then learn to adapt within themselves. All right. The mind is the builder. The mind will accept. As long as the mind accepts the big toe on the nose, it will keep the graft there. If the mind does not accept the big toe on the nose, the graft will always keep falling off. And this is the problem doctors have. They will graft on skin to a certain area, and it will always seem to rupture, or it will turn dark. It will not hold. Yet, gradually as the mind learns to accept, then it will stay in the area and work and build itself. So we have a psychological problem in the cells. But mind is the builder.
Well, I guess this is off the subject, but what about cancer? What is it? It's fooling, the cells are fooling the mind, or the mind fooling the cells? The mind fooling the cells. Okay, it's yours.
The cancer comes from breakdown within the structure. First, the electrical pattern has to break down. The idea pattern got to break down. Now, in the etheric body, cancer is first discovered there as a thought impression. That means there is a clouding up in the etheric body due to some thought pattern. And if we do what is called a radiastonic or radionic measurement on the cell, we will see this clouding up in the area, and we may read that clouding up as a form of cancer that's in the etheric body. Now in the etheric body, it may indicate you having cancer of the nose, but you haven't got it yet in the chemical body. It's in the etheric body clouding up there, giving off a radiation or giving off an indication, the possibility. Now that possibility of cancer might come from your constant turning up your nose at people, and it's locked up in your etheric body. Now your etheric body is taking full consideration for all this constant turning up of your nose till it gets so occluded that it makes its impression to precipitate. When it starts precipitating, now you notice the negative energy moves down, and then they start focusing themselves right into the neutral form in the chemical body. Then the chemical body starts to lose its electrical potential around that particular area. It starts to split. Now when its electrical potential starts to split now, we have a gradual deterioration, a slight itching, slight irritation in that spot. And eventually that irritation goes to a point where there is no regeneration. It doesn't want to heal itself. When it doesn't want to heal itself, then it becomes now feeding off of the waste product in the cells. And as it feeds off of the waste product in its cells and it becomes strong enough, then it becomes cannibalistic. That means it's going to eat the living cells now. When it eats the living cells, then we have a condition called cancer. It's a condition.
All from a thought.
Now, a virus can also flow in at the same time and affect it. A certain chemical can come in at the same time and affect it and speed it up. But in your body, everything is chemistry, and it's right there already. As long as the electrical shell is broken, these other forces move in to concrete it. So the first thing you got to correct in that person is the thought, and seal up that electrical field. Now this is where we're coming into the electrical field now. The electrical field is polarity, positive and negative. You call it yin and yang in the Chinese philosophy. It's positive and negative and neutral. In the body, this condition exists. You're either too positive or you're too negative in some level of your makeup. And the purpose is to bring about a polarity or a balance within yourself, or harmonize with yourself. Well, some people are very positive to the extent they're dogmatic. Others are negative to the extent they are chaotic, or we say apathetic.
Want
to
get neutral.
You want it neutral. He's the one that presses the button against the, or presses the trigger against his head.
So neutral and balance are not the same thing.
No.
Maybe opposite poles.
Balance is a different. Balance is not neutral.
Uh-uh.
A neutral person is neutral and he doesn't care anymore. He just can take the trigger and press it against his head. Boom, that's the end of him. Because he's neutral, he reached the point of suicidal action. He's neither positive or negative, and he has no more care or responsibility, a sense of rejection or guilt. He's neutral.
And balance.
But balance has every sense of responsibility, every sense of obligation, every sense of mercy, compassion, understanding, and initiative.
And it would have a feeling of the inner and the outer.
Right, there's a big difference between the balance than the neutral. You see, the balance is always double positive going up already. It's balanced out. So, in the negative going down, everything here has a tendency to drive us into a state of being destructive. So, a person who is neutral is not necessarily a person that is healthy. The person who is balanced is a person that is really healthy. The person that is positive is not necessarily healthy either. And the person that is negative is not necessarily healthy. Now, let's take an indication of all the 12 disciples of Jesus. Who was the most positive or over-positive man? Very over-positive, very dynamic, right? In fact, as soon as he saw his guru coming across the water, he started to walk on the water. How more positive can you be? You wouldn't fear? Well, jump right up and try. Now, who was the most negative?
Define negative in this sense you're speaking of. You know, sometimes we think of negative as something that's not good, you know.
Negative in this sense means vacillating.
What about John?
Thomas was the most negative even after death.
Oh, yeah.
Judas cannot be considered negative because Judas, at least he did one thing. He was neutral. He hung himself. He couldn't take a positive or negative. He didn't know where to go. He couldn't stick with the guru, and he couldn't stay with the people who he borrowed the money from or got the money from. So he had to kill himself. He didn't know where he stood with the situation. Thomas is negative, because Thomas is constantly questioning up to the last minute, even after everything is happening. He's still negative, vacillating.
Uncertain.
Judas is neutral. The rest were in between, fluctuating. Now,
John seemed to have the greatest depth of
John
love.
John came the closest to be purely
being,
balanced.
He was closest to the being.
Well, he was closest to getting balanced out. Now, he became balanced out years later, not right away. Because he was called the beloved, he was the closest to getting purely balanced, you see. Now, where he became balanced is when the master said to Peter, "Do you love me?" You know that conversation after the grave?
Yeah.
And Peter says, "Yes." He says, "I'm
feed
my sheep." Then he said the same question over again. So it got Peter pretty aggravated. Then Peter remarked, "Master, what becomes of this man that followed thee?" And he says, "What is that to thee if he tarry till I come?" And then Peter got the wrong conclusion, that Jesus is coming back to do something. See how over-positive he could be. He did not have the understanding of balance. But John then got the balance from that state, because then he was able to go out and live the balance state. Now, what type of man would you call Peter, Paul? Yes, he was a positive man, but he was so positive too. Like Peter, you see, the two would crash all the time, two positives crashing against each other.
But yet they were the ones that accomplished.
Ah, now we're talking of something entirely different.
Paul was the one who was able to teach it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see, when you talk of positive in terms of accomplishment, this is in the physical realm. When we talk of positive, without accomplishment, what would you call that? You see, the human mind cannot accept positive without accomplishment. It sounds kind of silly. It sounds kind of weak. Impractical. Nonsensical. Yet the positive without accomplishment is God. Bliss. God is positive without accomplishment. God does not praise himself having made the world. There is no way in which God is going to be happy that he made creation.
Unhappy?
So he's positive without condition. And the condition being that he's pleased only to create. Being pleased and being happy is two different things. He was pleased to create, and he didn't want the creation to go to the extent to avoid realizing him and get caught up in his own creativity. When we use the word jealous, we're not using it in the sense of possessiveness. We're using it in the sense of involvement. When your desires tend to trap you in the environment and you lose sight of the true purpose of your being, then the creative nature in you would be jealous, because your true purpose of being is to realize yourself and not to be trapped in the creation, not to be attached to the creation. It's to break free from the creation. So this would bring on a type of competition inside of you. Then we come back to competition and conflict now. So the inner conflict between realizing yourself or being attached to your environment is a tremendous battleground of your consciousness. That constant flux is going on. One is competing for the other. The outer world is competing for your attention, and the inner world is competing for your attention. Sooner or later you're forced to make a decision. That's what it means. You can't love the Lord or love mammon. You can't love pure being and love illusion or manifestation. You got to make a decision which way you're going to be, either in pure beingness or in manifestation. Now, nothing is wrong with manifestation. Manifestation is God's joy, God's pleasure. Because we are a manifestation. But we don't have to be caught up in the manifestation. We don't have to be a victim of the manifestation. We have to break free from that. That's why we must employ the mind to break free. The very same mind that would trap us must now be used to break free. So when we say mind is the builder, we are saying take the very same instrument, the very same mind that will trap you to your environment and break free from your environment today. Okay, the electrical body, come back to it in most language.
Is that the same as the etheric body?
Yes, it's the etheric body tends to throw lots of illusions. Electrical body is more in line with what we're saying. The electrical body follows the meridian movements, which are found now in a close proximity with the nerve and lymphatic movement of the physical body or chemical body. Wherever the nerve and lymphatic movement go, in the close proximity we will find this electrical body or meridian movement of the electrical body.
This is where they join together, isn't it? The electrical and the chemical body.
Right. The electrical body acts like a transformer. A transformer has a primary coil and a secondary coil. And between these two coils, we have what is called an inductance or an impedance movement. These two coils do not connect to each other, but they're in close proximity to each other. And they have a power movement in themselves. Now, the same thing with your chemical body, it's not connected to your electrical body. It's in the proximity of the body, and it moves within these areas. Thus, we have the same principle with your endocrine glands and your chakras. The chakras are the reservoirs or the relays in the electrical body.
Because I have a magnetic
affinity. Yes, the
magnetic
same.
Magnetic affinity.
Right. In the meridian movement, you have these relays, or what you call points. Now, relays or chakras. The same thing is used for chakras. These are the relay points in the neural system, in the autonomous nervous system of your spine. So in your spine you have 7 basic endocrine glands, chemically speaking now. Electrically speaking now, you have 7 centers of or relays of energy. Scripturally speaking, you have 7 churches, or your 7 golden candlesticks. That's the scriptural terminology. Alright. Cosmically speaking, these are your 7 virtues. We got 7 virtues, or 7 cardinal virtues. They're supposed to be 9. Like the chakras, they're supposed to be 9, and they're supposed to be 9 endocrine systems, endocrine glands. But 2 are not active. They are in the velum. They are held in suspension. So we do have 7, carrying it way back to its cardinal state.
Did we ever get 9?
Yeah, we have 9, but we don't use it. Too.
Yeah, I mean, do we ever get to 9?
Yeah.
Some people speak of moon chakra.
Well, those are only names again.
Those are unimportant.
Now, let us line this up clearly now. What we're saying now is these energy movements. The energy movements follow meridians, and tonight we'll take a few of the important meridians of energy movement. we'll take the triple warmer or the triple heater meridian. The movement of this energy, how it works. It starts with your ring finger of your left hand, right up from the edge where the nail joins the bone, and go straight up. You draw a straight line up all along on the outer perimeter of the elbow. Come all straight up on the upper forearm to the shoulder blade, and go right across to the best way to speak of the chest is right here. At this point, just above the...
at the collar.
It's below the collarbone.
Below the collar.
Below the collarbone on the left. Now, if you feel that point, tell me if it's sore. Once you locate it, you'll locate it, it's going to be sore. So that's where it ends. That's where the perimeter of the
triple
warmer ends. It ends right there. Now if it ends there, it begins there too. And goes to where? Right down back? No, it goes right back down to the ring finger.
Finger,
right
there.
No, I'm talking of the meridian of energy. I'm not talking of the chemical body. There are no nerves in this. These are in proximity of a certain line of nerves and lymphatic movement. So that the straight line or meridian is running right down up and down. The triple warmer or triple heater.
Then on the other hand, his arm does the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. We discussed yesterday what does the triple heater, where do you find that? In the chart. Look at your chart and see what hours are controlled by the triple heater.
1 to 11.
1 to 11.
Five. Oh.
And it's a fire movement, right? Now, what does fire control? Watch at your chart and see which one of the...
Oh, fire control. Oh, yeah.
Control means that the arrow is pointing into it.
Oh, water.
Water controls fire.
Oh, metal, then it's metal.
Which means ether. The fire controls the ether. We got it clear?
Yeah.
All right. And it's from what time again?
11 to 1 and 9 to 11.
Make up your mind.
How about 9 to 11? At the bottom.
Look back at your list again, your triple, the list that we started out, the very first list.
Yeah,
11 to 1. On your proximity of the tides, in your high tides of the blood, it's 11 to 1.
High.
Now we'll show you right there. Huh? It's between 11 to 1. When you get the paralysis of the arm, you'll apply the pressure right there and correct it immediately. Because that's the time it will attack you. Between 11 to 1, you get a paralysis of your hand or a cramp in the hand.
Day or night.
Day or night. Whenever you get that particular attack in that area, there is an imbalance in the energy movement in that meridian. Yeah, right, there's an imbalance, but but remember that it's only in your hand, that's not in your feet.
And what point do you use the pressure like this?
You go work your the pressure from the finger up, that whole meridian right up to the top.
Okay.
But normally, you can correct it immediately by, in the middle of your hand, this way. If you hold it in the middle of your hand, you can correct it immediately, the moment it gets the cramp. Now, if it doesn't correct immediately, you can go directly to the middle of the wrist. You have to find the where it is reacting. But as long as on that meridian, the point of contact will automatically quantify the energy. Or you can...
Right hand too.
Either hand automatically go to the perimeter and press. Now, like today, you got a cramp in the hand from the cold. Now, as you've gone, instead of using heat to create circulation, to bring back the circulation in the fingers, you go right up into the lung, which is close to the heart, where the perimeter ends or also begins, the meridian ends, and press right into it, and the insert of energy and the pressure and the reflex will shoot right down into that area. Now, if the blood is going to coagulate and cause a sensation of soreness or no circulation there, that coagulant condition begins to stop and then reverse its process and start heating up. That's why it's called triple heater. Why? What is a cramp? What is a numbness? The circulation has dropped in the temperature ratio in that area. Otherwise it can't be numb. Numbness means it's anesthetizing itself. A spasm is different. No, a spasm is a quiver. A spasm does not have numbness. We're talking of a condition where numbness will follow in the area. A cramp tends to be numbing the area. There tends to be no life in the area. So we are reversing the process of the energy by applying the pressure along that point. Now if you stick a needle right through the finger right here, in this finger, which is this one, the ring finger, you just take the needle and stick it into it. Automatically the thing will stop. Oh yes, it starts to stop because the metal is coming in contact with the electrical impedance and shunting it out now. But you can't just stick the needle in, you have to stick the needle and rotate it. The rotation has to do with shunting the impedance. The reason why it's not allowing the energy to flow through that perimeter or that meridian, there is an impedance somewhere, and that impedance can be a chemical cause that is coming along that area, which may be a coagulant blood with toxins in it. The toxins may have an electromagnetic static condition that would irritate or block that impedance in the cells. So the cells itself are unable now to keep the circulation going, so they start to go to sleep. So the two are coordinating together. So if you stick the needle in, we have what we call dispersion. Now, the type of needle will determine how fast the dispersion will occur. If you use silver or gold or stainless steel, or if you use bone or wood or your fingernails. Today they are made out of stainless steel because they're more easier to disperse because the impedance is not as high in the stainless steel. Preferably gold would be better because gold is the same vibration as the human skin. But gold is too expensive. So they make them... Oh yes, the original needles that are being made are gold. The best needles are gold for the body because it's the same vibration as the skin. And it's not corrosive. Gold don't corrode. It bends easily and it's more flexible to go into the skin without irritating the skin and therefore wouldn't cause any undue harm to the tissues. Now stainless steel is the only nearest thing that can do the same thing like gold because it's flexible and it doesn't corrode too. And it's easier to replace stainless steel and it's cheaper than gold. And you can make a whole lot more in quantity than gold. So that's why they found stainless steel to be the next best thing. Silver is not as so easy for deflection. So gold and stainless steel, and for what's called commercial use, stainless steel is the best. Now they're going to come up with a combination of stainless steel and gold, in which you have now the same vibratory movement of the skin in relation to the contact point with needle. Anyway, we got the triple warmer, and we know the time, and we know what to you find the meridian point and go back. Now, let's look back at your triple warmer action on your chart and observe some more interesting things. Is there any other area in the body where the triple warmer comes into the chart? Besides in the ether, in the fire, right? You notice something? Triple warmer is in the fire movement and it's in the ether movement. And we say the fire, this control, it controls the ether movement. So what it tells us now, it tells us that triple warming action not only can control, but it can be controlled. The very same meridian can control certain things, and that very same meridian can be controlled by other things. So that meridian will control, that triple warmer meridian will control certain diseases, and that same meridian can be controlled by certain diseases. It will control certain diseases, and it can be controlled by certain diseases. Certain conditions in the body will be under its control, and that way we'll have what is called an effective therapy, an effective cure. And there are other conditions will not be controlled by it. So it has its own indicator of what can be controlled and what cannot be controlled. So we can't fool ourselves and say this type of therapy is going to cure everything in the world. If it was, the Chinese people would be the healthiest nation in the world. And if it was a quackery, they'd have thrown it away a long time ago. So it's not quackery, and it's not a cure-all for everything either. It is a principle that will help to alleviate certain conditions and bring them under control that are controllable. And other conditions that we will not control, we have to forget about them and go on to something else and leave the meridian to something else. So we have to know what can be controlled. That's why Jesus says, no man take my life from me. I have the power to lay it down and pick it up, which means indicates control. He must know which one of these movements in himself that bring about control and which one cannot bring about control. So it's a full understanding of the movement of the energy. That's clear enough? Any questions? Okay. Let us take the gallbladder. The meridian of the gallbladder. And you take now the from your hip bone right from this hip bone here. You go down, you run on the outside, and you come right out on the little, the second to last toe. It comes right here, comes up here. Now you notice the second to last toe comes off where the, right underneath the, or in line with the ankle bone. You pass your finger, it's right in line with the ankle bone, and it comes right up. You got it? Now, those who have had structural massage or structural therapy given to them, what happens when I press along that area? But because it hurts, it's releasing deep suppression from within the mechanism.
What happens when your gallbladder's in a mood?
You'll still feel pain because the nerves are only are still in the shock, and the meridian can't go away, you know, though the gallbladder is cut out. That doesn't remove the electrical frequency. You know, do you have children?
Do I? Yeah.
All right. They are separated from you by the umbilical cord. And how come you control their minds by thinking of them? Every time you think something, they know of it and they feel it. Or wherever they are, you can feel them. Are you familiar with that phenomenon?
Yeah.
All right. Can you stop the electrical interplay between you and the child?
No.
Same way the man who cut off his foot. Every day
still
he wants to scratch his toes.
That's right.
And then also for him to scratch. Because the meridians can't go away. They are, it doesn't say it's a magical energy. The energy is there within the proximity of the neural path. So it's there nevertheless, and you can come right in to his imaginary toe and put in a contact point and he will feel it. So if the Master Jesus only went one step further in from acute massage by contact point to acute consciousness with mind point, he uses mind on the points of the body where the conscious points are in the meridian, so he's able to heal with his mind now.
Because the gallbladder is a part of the chemical body,
of the electrical body.
That's right.